not three easy steps. Anyway, so stick with me, and I'll tell you why this relates to our topic this morning. You know, many times in life, we are faced with a situation where it's difficult to know what to do. You know, some things, like setting up a new phone, those are trivial things, right? Even though it's frustrating, it's trivial. Other things are much more significant. You know, we've been praying about those this morning. We have people here who are facing healthcare decisions, healthcare challenges, right? We have people making education choices. We have people making job choices. We have people making marriage choices. We have projects in life. We have to decide how to go from here to there and what those steps look like. Sometimes we have challenges, struggles, right? Those can be relationship struggles. They can be family struggles. They can be discouragement. Maybe you feel that you are serving the Lord where He wants you to be, and yet you're discouraged. Maybe you're in a leadership position, and that's really difficult because people you're trying to lead are challenging what you're trying to do. Maybe you feel that you know what God wants you to do, but taking that step of obedience is difficult, and knowing the next step sometimes is hard to find. And I've recently been reading through the book of Joshua, and my curiosity really spiked because my name is Joshua. And I thought I really would like to spend some time digging into this book, learning about this Bible character, and seeing what from his life is relevant to my life today. There's approximately 3,420 years between the time that the book of Joshua occurred and my life today. But I'm sure it won't surprise you that most of the principles in that book are relevant today and they're meaningful. So let me link this back to the Verizon instruction sheet. In Joshua chapter 1, which is going to be our text for this morning, I believe there are six steps that God gives to Joshua towards accomplishing a challenge, and that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. So you can turn to Joshua chapter 1, and we will read the first 9 verses together. Now it came about, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's just take a moment and commit the next few minutes to the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this story. I thank you for the opportunity to study it. Father, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning through what we see here. I pray that you'll guide my words. Help me to say only what is from you, and help me not to say what's not from you or doesn't agree with what your word states. I thank you for your presence with us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so just by way of background, obviously God is speaking to a biblical character named Joshua. And that's the first thing I just want to point out. It's really amazing to me to think that God spoke directly to a person. And so as we go through this text this morning and these six steps, just keep in mind, this is God speaking directly to a person. You know, we don't get to experience that in our time, and many in the Old Testament did. Truly noteworthy. So I'm sure you're familiar with the story. Children of Israel here had been wandering in the wilderness for many years. They departed Egypt and slavery, and God promised them many, many years ago through Abraham possession of a land named Canaan. And so it's finally time for them to enter that land. They're literally standing on the edge of this region of the world, and Joshua has become their new leader. Joshua, it seems, is somebody who had military experience, maybe even training from the time that he lived in Egypt while they were in slavery. And Joshua, as a little bit of an aside, means Yahweh saves, or God is my salvation. Very appropriate in that God literally is offering salvation to his people, the children of Israel, through Joshua as they take this land. So if you look at the book of Joshua as a whole, there are three main sections. The first section is they're entering the land of Canaan. Secondly, they're conquering the land of Canaan. And thirdly, dividing the land of Canaan among the tribes. So it's a book that emphasizes faithfulness of God to Israel to give what they had promised. Thank you for the water. And so it's a really amazing and pivotal time here in the nation of Israel as we walk into this story. Joshua is new, being the leader of this nation, and he has a huge challenge in front of him. And so you remember I was talking about challenges that we face in life. How do we handle them? Here we see God speaking directly to Joshua, giving him a recipe for how to face his challenge. Let's see if I can get my screen to catch up here. All right, we were going to read that together. Hopefully you already found it. Okay. So the first thing that we see here, step number one, you can see my key there in the bottom of your screen, out of Joshua 1 and verse 2. God says to Joshua, arise. And this word arise really has the idea of change your position. Get moving, get going. And you know, Joshua, I'm sure, was feeling like this is a monumental task, right? I'm new to being the leader of these people, have all these battles to fight. We're trying to literally displace people from where they're living, from their cities, take control so that we can claim this land. But really, when you think about it, the challenge isn't that, is it? God had promised this to the children of Israel, and Joshua is now the vehicle that God is going to use to make good on that promise. And so that's the point that I want to make clearly this morning. This was a promise, and Joshua's instruction was really to get ready to receive that promise. And you know, as believers, we have the privilege of also being given a promise. We're going to read together 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So just as Joshua had the opportunity to claim God's promise in this land, we have the opportunity to live in a way as though we are ready to claim eternal life, the eternal life that God has given us. A couple other verses will be helpful in just cementing this in our minds. Turn, if you would, to John 14. John 14, I'm going to read the first few verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So our promise is eternal life, a place in our Father's house, and his return of Jesus. eternal life is promised to us. I also want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. So if we're going to live in a way as though we're ready to claim eternity, we have to think about the fact that our physical lives are temporary. And that's, I believe, what we see here in the beginning of 2 Corinthians 5. It talks about how our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. And eventually, a building from God replaces that. So our lives here are temporary. And, you know, this concept of thinking about life here on earth as temporary is all through Scripture. But it's easier said than done, isn't it? There are things in our lives happening each day that we focus on, and we spend time on, and we worry about, and really, if we were thinking about this as temporary, that perspective might change. So that's the challenge that goes along here with being ready to claim eternity as it's been promised to us. This is not my best life now. I don't know how many times you've thought that. I don't think I have thought it for a long time that clearly. This is not my best life now. And I think we need that to really sink in and become a reality for us. You know, these verses here in 2 Corinthians 5 talk about groaning. And groaning in life is real. There are so many challenges and problems that we face. This groan, whether it's literal or not, is sometimes how we feel inside. We're groaning under the burden of life here. And yet it's not our best life. We have hope for the future because of what Christ has done. And we can walk by faith, not by sight. So continuing on here in Joshua 1, verse 6 is where we find the next specific instruction. And God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Now, if you're looking in your Bible at Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 is actually really helpful in understanding what is meant here. Joshua 1, 5 says, no man will be able to stand before you in all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Because of that, be strong and courageous. So, you know, God says to Joshua, I am with you. None of these other nations where you have to go in and fight and take over the land, none of them are going to be able to stand against you because you're going in my power. Not your power, my power. The same is true for us in modern day. And here is the parallel that I'd like to point you to in Ephesians 6. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians 6 and we'll just take a look at a few verses there. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the Israelites needed strength and courage because they were fighting physical battles, right? Literal physical battles. In our lives, the battles are much more often spiritual. And that's the point here in Ephesians 6. And again, we were praying about this just a little while ago, thinking about Rachel and Michael and what seems like a pile of things that really represent a spiritual battle that they are facing in life right now. This is real. And I think this is something that sometimes we forget to acknowledge. And if we're going to be strong and courageous, and you know, if you go further here in Ephesians 6, you find the tools God has given us, the armor of God, to be ready in spiritual warfare. If we really pay attention to that, it will change the way that we think. Be strong and courageous because, Ephesians 6:10, you are in the strength of his might. We are equipped for spiritual warfare because of the strength of his might. Moving on here in Joshua, verse 7, the instruction is almost repeated, word for word, except there's two additions, only and very. It says, only be strong and very courageous. So I've listed this here in our six-step outline as step number 3, recognizing that it is a little bit repetitive. But it is in God's word that way, and I'm sure it's that way for a reason. Those two words add a lot of emphasis, don't they? Only. This is the only thing you have to do. Only be strong and courageous. You know, God didn't give Joshua a full list of, well, go and find this many swords and this many bows and arrows and this many whatever the weapons would have been at that time. And he didn't say, quickly organize the army like this or gather these tents and go to this place, you know, things that we would naturally think of as the first set of instructions towards conquering a land. He said, only be strong and very courageous. You know, this word very, I don't know all the reasons why it's in the text. I just acknowledge that it's important. But for me, part of what I think is meaningful is that truly being strong and courageous in the Lord is going to take a beating, right? Especially in today's world. Following the Lord is not something that's going to come easily. And so I'm thinking about that word very courageous and aligning it with the fact that we're going to struggle with this. We're going to face opposition to this. Be strong and very courageous. There is a New Testament parallel that I think is really encouraging here. Romans 8:31. Because of our salvation, would be the context of this verse, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? So again, here's this idea that there is no higher power. We can take hold of that. There is no higher power. So we only need to be strong, and we can be very courageous. You know, sometimes in life it's easy to be discouraged, to be down, and to say, you know, this set of circumstances is against me. Or maybe we say, these people, or that person, or this thing is against me. And really, all that may be true, right? In a given moment, there might be people or circumstances against us. And yet, in the context of this verse, it doesn't matter, does it? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? You don't need to turn there. I know you're familiar with Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So I want to encourage you today, it doesn't matter what we're facing. It matters because it's real and because we feel it. And yet we know that God is for us. All right, continuing on, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. The second part of this verse, or second phrase, I should say, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. So we know that God had been giving direction to the children of Israel, specifically through the Ten Commandments. We're familiar with that list of things. But here, God calls out that his word, God's word, is something that Joshua is going to have to give attention to. He's going to have to be careful to do what he'd been taught. And again, we see a parallel in the New Testament. I'm going to point out James 1, verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not just hearers who deceive themselves. Let's read that again. It's a short verse and it's really powerful. Prove yourselves doers of the word, not just hearers who deceive themselves. Sometimes as Christians, it's easy to think, I'm going to do the right things. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to hear a good sermon. I'm going to read this devotional. Those things are all important. They have to happen, right? But we have to follow that up by taking what we hear and actually putting it into practice. Came across an interesting quote. Too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. Think about that. Too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. That begs the question for each of us personally. Am I doing what I hear from God's word, or am I hearing it and then going and doing whatever I want to do, or whatever's easiest, or what feels like the path of least resistance? I'm going to ask you to turn to James chapter 1, where we see this verse. There are a couple other verses there that will be helpful as we think, what does it really look like to be doers of the word? James 1, we already have read 22. I want to read at verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. You know, this gives some really practical input, doesn't it? Thinking about God's word as a mirror and the way you see yourself in a mirror, right? You can choose to correct the errors that you see when you look in the mirror. Your shirt's untucked, your hair's disheveled. Maybe for women it's a lot more complicated than that, right? But when you look in the mirror, you want to react to what you see that you know you can fix. And the same should be true as we spend time in God's word. Let it reflect back to us where we have deficiency, where we're struggling, where we're not doing what we know God's word tells us to do. There are so many places in God's word where we can go to look and get this practical direction. I was thinking specifically Colossians 3. We don't have time to read it this morning. You know, but as believers, we are instructed to love, to forgive, put aside anger, serve. These are things that we want to see when we look into that mirror, using God's word as an examination tool in our individual lives. Be careful to do what you've been told. Also related to God's word is the next instruction here, number 5, in Joshua 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. You know, if we truly respect God's word, it's going to be something that is complete, and it's going to be something that is consistent. So think about that for a moment. Do I respect God's word in a way that is complete? Every word, is it always on my mind, in my heart? Is it consistent? A place where I'm paying attention routinely. Our parallel is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, the word dwell here in this verse has the idea of actually being comfortable or being at home in a certain place. So as believers, God's word should be at home in us. I think it's obvious to us that God's word is rich with spiritual truth and support for life. But when we acknowledge that richness, And when it's truly at home within us, the second half of this verse is what comes true, because God's word is what comes out. So whether it's our praise, our worship time, our admonishment or exhortation of another person, this comes out as a product of having God's word richly dwell in us. Let me read a few more verses related to this, just really intended for us to listen. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, think about these things. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness. You know, we need those things, don't we? Teaching, we need to know what is right. Rebuke, we need to know what is not right. Correction, we need to know how to get right. And training, we need to know how to stay right. And God's word is profitable for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training. Do turn to this verse, if you would, Romans 12. Romans 12, starting in verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, if God's word is dwelling in us richly, the pressures of the world are not going to shape us, right? And that's what we're reading about here in Romans 12. So think about a piece of clay. If you apply pressure to it, it takes whatever shape that pressure is creating. And we don't want to be shaped by the pressure from the world. We want to be transformed from the inside, because God's word is dwelling in us richly. So in the same way that God's instruction to Joshua was, meditate on my word, the instruction to us is, let my word dwell in you richly. All right, we are approaching our last step here, but I want to point out in Joshua 1 and verse 8, God again reminds Joshua to be careful to do what he's been told. So we already talked about that, but there's emphasis here in the text that I don't want to skip over. Be careful to do what you've been told. For us, that means be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And then in verse 9, it starts out with a third reference, be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? But then the sixth step here to facing a challenge that I want to point out is the second part of this verse. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, it's interesting that God took the time not only to say, be strong and courageous three times, but he also specifically instructed Joshua, don't give in to the temptation to do the opposite, which is to be afraid. And we have some encouragement in that direction as well. I'd like to read John 14:27. It says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or fearful. So I've said here, as you can see, for us, it's peace, not fear. Because of what Christ has done, we have peace, not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. You know, this power only comes from the Holy Spirit, right? And so all of these instructions that Joshua, or that God has given to Joshua, work together. The Holy Spirit is most effective when we are focused on God's word, when it's dwelling in us richly, and it gives us this opportunity to avoid fear, to enjoy peace, and also to be strong and courageous. So here's a summary list of what we see in Joshua chapter 1. And there are two things that I really want to point out here as we start to reflect on this and think about what it means to our lives. The first is, and I'm sure you've already figured this out, none of these are related, really, to the task at hand, right? So as humans, we tend to think, here's my challenge, here's what I have to accomplish, let me break that down, make my list, and I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And here, we see God speaking directly to Joshua with a set of instructions, right? I'm calling it a checklist. And yet, none of them are related to the task. They are all related to his perspective. And that is one of the key takeaways for us this morning. Whatever it is that we are facing in life, the perspective that we have is going to impact our ability to handle it, and it's going to impact our ability to see God's hand of guidance through it. And so these steps really are about getting our perspective in the right place. The other thing I want to point out is that they are all dependent on God, right? Not on Joshua. It doesn't say, create your own power. It says, go in my power, and therefore be strong and courageous, and don't have fear. We're not relying on our words or our wisdom. We're relying on God's word, doing what we've been told, making sure we're meditating on it, and allowing it to dwell in us richly. When you look to the end of Joshua, Joshua 21, verse 45 says this, not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. So here we see Joshua receiving this huge task. He is told, get ready to claim this promise. And not one of those promises failed. You know, the same is true in our lives today as well, isn't it? Not one of the promises that God has made to us, specifically our promise of eternal life, will fail. And we can take comfort in that as we allow these things to impact how we think. Ultimately, Joshua's life was successful because of his faith in the word of God, in its commandments and its promises. And God was faithful to him and to the nation of Israel. Hopefully these steps are encouraging to you this morning. I know they were encouraging to me. We each face different challenges. No two of us are going through the same thing in this moment, and yet God's recipe for how to approach them is something that can encourage us no matter where we are. We're going to wrap up this morning with a song, so I will head to the piano. If you want to follow along with the words, hymn number 347 in your green hymnal. It's an encouragement in any situation to be reminded of God's faithfulness. And that's my prayer with this song this morning. I'm going to sing it quietly, calmly, and I encourage you to just let the words sink in as you think about your life, what's going on, and the week ahead. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change,
He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy come, confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last.
Just wrap up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for your word and just the truth in it. I thank you that it's meaningful to our lives and that it offers direction and encouragement all at the same time. Father, I pray that you will use these thoughts from Joshua to speak to each of our hearts, change us, draw us closer to you, make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.